Good morning.
Good morning.
I love y'all.
All right. A few announcements we'll make as we get started in worship today. We'd like to find out first who is here. The way we do that, that's very simple. There are pew pads on the inside of aisle of every pew. There are these burgundy folders. We invite members and guests. If you wouldn't mind, take that pew pad, open it up, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it reaches that last person and you're done, please send it back to where it got started. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you so much for that. A reminder about a few things. We are having children's time today, so right after that first hymn, invite the kids to come down for just a moment to meet with me down there. Also, next Sunday is an important day in the life of our church. It is our Sunday school celebration. We're inviting Sunday school classes to come, and we'll have some light snacks during the Sunday school hour. That will be a time when, at the end of the hour, the kids that are moving to new classes, that's the day they'll go and visit their, they'll promote and visit their new classes. That's going to be next Sunday morning during the Sunday school hour. We know some Sunday school classes will choose to meet as normal, and that's fine. But those that choose to, you're welcome to come and enjoy breakfast and a Sunday school celebration during that time. During both of the services, the 9 and the 11 o'clock, we're also having our time, what we call the service of affirmation. And so what we do is we spend time praying for and recognizing teachers, administrators, students, parents, grandparents, Sunday school teachers, any adult or student who is involved in the teaching of our kids, either here at church, public school, private school, colleges. This is the start of the new year. We want to stop and to pause and to pray for those that are involved in educating our children. So we call it the service of affirmation. That'll be a prayer time during both the 9 and the 11 o'clock. Your part that you can play, not only for the praying during that service, but we also open up our prayer partner ministry next Sunday. We will have a table out as you come in the sanctuary, to the church. Every child, teenager, college student will have an envelope with their name in it. And we like to partner up an adult in our church with every one of those kids to pray for the upcoming year. And we've been doing this for the last 12 years. It's been an incredible part of our ministry. We want to continue that. Many of you already have relationships with students. If you want to continue those, let me know that by Wednesday of this week, and we will make that happen. So we look forward to it. That's a big day, and we look forward to it next Sunday morning. Raymond.
On that same table that Jeff's talking about, today as you leave, we need to clear it out. So if everybody will take one of these, then we'll clear it out so he can put his envelopes there with the children's name on it. But you'll notice Michael Jordan as you came in, and you saw him sporting the T-shirt there. He's standing beside a table that has forms that look like this. And we are in preparation for National Back to Church Sunday, which is September the 18th. Now, I know that that's a month away, but what we want to do between now and then is to encourage you to think about who you want to invite to come be a part of our fellowship. So that's the National Back to Church Sunday part of it, okay? But also this year, we felt a need maybe to reclaim some people that haven't been coming. Maybe they came at one time and have stopped attending regularly. Some of these people, we know kind of what their story is. Others, we really don't. And so what we're asking you to do is to take one of these little packets. It's got about three or four names or family units that's stapled to it, and there's a report form at the bottom, and just asking you to make contact. There's some instructions on the front. You don't have to make apologies or any of that type of thing. It's got pretty clear instructions on just how to contact them, and then once you've contacted them, just give us a little report on what's going on with the person. Some of these we know probably have moved away But yet our last contact information, you know, if you could kind of go through that process and help us as we're moving into our new database system, that will kind of help us update a lot of files. So if you can do that, if they're still locally and not attending, certainly invite them to come back, and we can celebrate between now and September the 18th, which is National Back to Church Sunday. The theme this year is Now is the Time, and it truly is. There's no better time, and you don't have to wait till September the 18th to invite someone to church. Certainly, I hope you're doing that every week, but that's just the national emphasis. The other thing I'd like to draw to your attention is that this afternoon from 2 to 4, Krista's smiling. She and Ken are going to be with us in Smith Hall. I know she's had a chance to say goodbye, and I understand that, but we want to give you a chance to say goodbye to her and to Ken. She's not going far. She's just going down the road, and we've talked about this on Wednesday night. We want to partner with her and support her and Ken as they go and begin a new work there to help a church come back, come to life, and really be a vital part of their community. So come this afternoon between 2 and 4 in Smith Hall and say a word of encouragement to both Krista and Ken. Thank you.
One final note, our family ministry team will meet today at 4 o'clock. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. You gave us your information a moment ago on the pew pad, and we're very thankful for that. We would like to give something to you. So if you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and the ushers are going to come back down the aisles now. They're going to recognize you. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story or the history of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. Sometimes we don't always know how thankful we really need to be for something until it gets taken away. Summer, for instance. Summer. Kids are going back to school. They just want to sleep in or play a little bit more. But parents, you're ready for kids to go back to school, right? It's all about perspective. It's all about how we see things. This morning, I challenge you to see yourself as God sees you. Many times we don't have the proper perspective to see ourselves, to see our neighbor as God sees them. You and I were made for a purpose, and God has us in his hands, ready to show us. That's why we worship, to come into his presence, to be reminded of his presence in our life, his faithfulness, and to say thank you. Will you pray with me? Father, you see us as only you can. Father, so many times I don't see and I don't understand. Father, help me today to trust you. Even when I can't see a way forward, even when I don't understand the next step, may I trust that you knew me before I was born. You knew all that was before me, and that you are molding me to be like Jesus. That's why I've come to worship. That's why we have come to worship, to be molded to be more like Jesus, to honor you with everything that we have. So may this time of worship glorify you. May our purpose right now be to worship you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Okay, good to see everybody this morning. Okay, I need your help. Everybody looking this way, I need your help. This doesn't require any talking. It just requires moving. Can you move? I need you to, no, don't talk. Everybody, stand up. Everybody, stand up. Okay, come stand on this first step for me. Just stand shoulder to shoulder. Keep sliding, so that everybody can see you. Keep sliding, everybody up. Up. Good job. Good job. Everybody, where are you going, Shane? There we go. I give a big smile. Everybody smile. Y'all smile back. Y'all wave to them. Wave to them. Y'all wave back. Okay, blow kisses. Mwah. Okay, wrist and elbow. Very good. Now, I have a question. Did you know that before you were born, God knew that you were going to look exactly like you do? Did you know what color eyes you were going to have? Did you know, or did God make that?
When I was three, I thought they were blue, but they're really brown.
Oh, they're really brown, yeah. So, did you know what color hair you were going to have? Or do you just have that color? Do you know how many hairs are on the top of your head? Do you know that? Have you ever tried to count them? Some of us, it's really quick, right? I'm not pointing any names, but did you know? When you look in the mirror, you were exactly who God made you to be. Everybody's looking this way? You are beautiful to these people, just like you are. Doesn't matter how tall you are. It doesn't matter the color hair that you have. The reason why these people love you is because God made you. Just like you are, God made you. This morning, Pastor Raymond is going to talk about the fact that even before we were born, God knew us. And He made us really special to do something that only you can do. And our job, as we go to school, as we come here to church, is to figure out what that is. And the people that just waved at you and blew a kiss to you, they are here to help you figure that out. That's why we come to church, to figure out, who did God make me to be? That's why we come. All right? Darn, aren't they looking good this morning? Yeah. Will you? Y'all even got a round of applause. They were not clapping for me. They were clapping for y'all. Okay? Will you pray with me? God, thank you for the truth that you knew us before we were born. And that even on the days that we doubt what value we have or why we're here, that we can look to these children and remember you are with us. And in their faces, we can be reminded you are still alive and well, and you've given us all a purpose. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Good job. You can go back to your seats now.
You give life, you are love, you bring life.
It's just an honor to lead you in prayer on Sundays, and it is an honor today, and it's a blessing to my soul. So I would invite you to go with me to the throne of God. Dear Heavenly Father, in this hour of worship, of focus upon you, we thank you in your majesty as we see your glory stream across the sky. We see your glory in the stars and the moon at night. We see your glory in the sunrise and the sunset, in the strength and majesty of the mountains, in the bubbling brook, in the vast ocean. We see your glory in your world that you created all around us. But we also see your glory in each other. We see your sweet presence and your gentle spirit. We see your laughter and your smile. We receive embraces from people who are the arms of Christ. Father, we thank you so much for the joy that we share in and through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, that invisible bond that is eternal and will never die, because we will never die. How wonderful it is that we have that hope and future together forever with the universal body of Christ, every single soul that enters those gates of heaven, how great that will be. Now, Father, I thank you for this body of Christ, which exemplifies your presence to the community, to each other, which reaches out to the hurting and the lost, encourages those who are weak and feeble and exhausted, who invite people to come to church, and who just give a cup of cold water to those who are thirsty and hurting. Thank you so much for this ministering body of Christ. And we just pray that you would pour out your blessings upon this body of believers, that they will rise up even further than they already are in their ministry to each other in the community, in the name of Jesus, that they will rise up even taller and do even more. There's so much talent and giftedness in this congregation. So use these that give their lives to you. And thank you for calling each one of us, male, female, any age, perhaps to ministry, perhaps some to full-time ministry, but we're all in full-time ministry in the name of Jesus. So stir up your gifts in each and every one of us and remind us we are all ministers in Christ. Now, Father, just bless each one here, all families represented, and everybody who couldn't be here and would love to be. Bless this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. We thank you for our families, for our church family, for our church staff. But most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to save us from our sins. Let us remember that every day should be a day of thanks to you. Make us responsible to your call and eager to do your will, whatever the cost. Discipline us that we may become strong and courageous, tender-hearted and forgiving, compassionate and sacrificial. It is with grateful hearts that we now give these tithes and offerings. Let them be used to further glorify your name and to spread your message of love. It is in your holy name that we pray. Amen.
I tell you, I read a couple different articles this week, and being here this morning in both services made me just chuckle a little bit. One article, I can't remember exactly what the title of it was, but basically it was saying, you know, traditional forms of worship, choirs, piano, that type of thing, have run its course. They're basically just dying out. Just deal with it. The other article said, you know, contemporary Christian music has run its course, and kids are rejecting that and blah, 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 so it's dying out. You know, for both of those guys, I just want to send them an invitation. Come be with us at College Park. Just any given Sunday morning will work. Just come on and worship with us. So I am so grateful to be a part of a church that sees the vision, that knows how important it is to have worship together, sometimes different stylistically, but meaningful worship. And I think that's the key. You know, we gather together for meaningful worship in whatever form that may take. We're going to continue in Jeremiah. We're actually going backwards in Jeremiah, the way the lectionary does it. Last week we were in Jeremiah 29. This, we're going back all the way up to the front, and that's the way the lectionary falls. And so, as I explained last week, I have a choice, and I wanted to use this passage primarily because of the text that is so strong and I think is so relevant to each of our lives. I read a lot in the Interpreter's Bible this week, Rodney Buchanan, some of his remarks about this passage, and other sources, just trying to pull together what is, I think, probably parts of this are very familiar to it. But let's read it together. It's in Jeremiah chapter 1, and I'll start in verse 4, and I'll go down through verse 10. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Let that sink in. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I'm only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." God is preparing Jeremiah for the mission that we talked about last week, a mission of warning the people that destruction was coming if repentance didn't take place. In this scripture passage, we read where the Lord said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." You see, sometimes I think when people think about the voice of God, when people think about God coming to them and saying something, they think that he generally says something that's wrong with us. Something that's wrong. They kind of associate in a strange way. They associate the voice of God with your conscience. Okay? Maybe a guilty conscience in this case. But more often, the voice of God comes to announce our extraordinary worth to God and his plan to use us in incredible ways. This personal worth is inseparably tied to the fact, as he said, we were made by God. We were made by him. And our worth to God started before we were born. Let that sink in. We have worth because we were born in the mind of God before we ever entered into our mother's womb. We were valuable to God before the world began, because already we had begun in his mind and imagination. We are the product of his creativity and love. That's something that can never change. It's something that nobody can ever take away from us. And as such, quite frankly, it leads me to have great concern about the way that we talk about self-esteem today to our children. How we tie that self-esteem to abilities. I've heard parents say, you know, child, you can be whatever you choose to be. This week, as I was watching the Olympics, one night, the American Ashton Eaton, Ashton was the champion. He was the gold medal winner in the decathlon. And after he had won the decathlon, one of the announcers says something that struck me. He said, Ashton Eaton can do anything he sets his mind to. To which I began to talk back to the TV, which always amuses my wife. And I said, oh yeah? Let's see him flap his arms till he gets airborne. Ashton Eaton can do anything he sets his mind to. No, he can't. Child, you can be whatever you choose to be. No, they can't. They can't. If I spent 12 hours a day practicing the piano, I could never play like Teresa. I will never sing like Jeremy Cobble, at least not this side of heaven. When we get there, all bets are off. Amen, we all, yeah. Amen, hallelujah, yeah. The course is going to be awesome there. I will never be able to comprehend physics like Jeremy Hohertz or Stephen or Rick Matthews. My mind doesn't work that way. I will never be able to dance like Ashton, and that's probably a good thing. No matter how many hours I might train, I will not do some of these things. So why do we tell our children that they can be whatever they choose to be, when that's not the truth? There are things that I cannot do. And the things that I can do, there are people that do them a lot better than me. And I'm okay with that. You know, the reality dawns on our children sooner or later that they can't be exactly what they want to be. But let me tell you what, more importantly, the truth is you can't be anything that you want to be, but you can be everything that God wants you to be. And I'll choose that any day. Amen? I will choose that any day. God has a better plan than any of us. So I will choose what God wants me to be and created me to be and equips me to be, because that is where my identity and my self-esteem must be grounded, or it will eventually fall apart. Early in the Olympics, on one of the first two or three nights, There was a couple of divers, a couple of American divers, men, I don't know if you saw them, the tandem diving, and they won the gold medal, and at the end of it, they had an interview with them. And both of them took the opportunity to say, my identity is grounded in Christ. My identity is in Christ, not in my diving ability. Both of them made the opportunity to speak that word. And I thought, good for you guys. Good for you guys. If you've already got that settled in your mind, you're ahead of most of us. My identity is in Christ. And you see, the American culture places so much value on external things. We value youth, beauty, athletic ability, intelligence, education, wealth, fame, all of those externals. But what happens when you have all of that and you lose it? Yeah, what happens? What then? Yeah. See, where do you get your feelings of esteem and self-worth when everything on which you've based your value comes apart at the seams? What happens then? I think if we look at this passage carefully, just these short verses, we can see two or three things that will really help us. And if you're taking notes on your back of your bulletin here, point number one is an accurate view of yourself comes from an understanding of God's view of who you are. God's view of who you are. You see, when God told Jeremiah that he valued him and planned to use his life, Jeremiah protested, I can't do that. I'm just a child.
I cannot possibly do that. And the Lord said, no. Do not say I'm just a child, because you're going to go everywhere to everyone that I've appointed you to go, and you're going to do whatever I command you to do. You see, God has plans for Jeremiah. He had plans for Jeremiah, and he has plans for us. Jeremiah didn't understand. Sometimes we don't understand. Jeremiah saw himself as no value, but God saw him of infinite value. His value was not how he saw himself or even how other people saw him. It's how God saw him that mattered. Now, you may not seem like much in your own estimation, or you may say, well, when I was younger, I could do blah, 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 but I'm just not worth much anymore. Yes, you are. Your worth has not changed in God's eyes. Who you are in God's eyes is all that matters. You see, the kind of self-esteem that says, I'm worth something because I'm doing well and other people think I'm really cool, that is a black hole that some people never crawl out of. It's terrible. If your feelings of self-worth are based on how you see yourself or how others see you, then you have hooked yourself to the wrong star. Let me tell you the good star. Check out this star. In Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Your life has value because you were created in the image of God, regardless of what you are able or unable to do. Your life has meaning only in a relationship with the God in whose image you were created. He has a purpose. He has a plan for your life that is completely different from every other person that was created. Later on in Jeremiah, God comes back to him in chapter 29, verse 11. He says, I know the plans I have for you. And you all, many of you memorized the rest of that verse. But let's stop there. I know the plans I have for you. God knows what he has planned for you. You may not have figured it out yet. And you may still be praying, Lord, show me. I'll do it if you'll just show me. But God knows what he has planned for you. As Jeff has already said, you know, it's so important that Jesus said, look, you know, I care about everything in your life, including how many hairs there are on your head. And I'm not going to be ugly like Jeff and say for some of us that's easy. It's easy to count some of them. You know, the point is that God cares so deeply about us that he knows every little detail. And he has a plan for our life. An accurate view of yourself comes only from an understanding of God's view of who you are. God's view. The second thing I think I would see from this is that an accurate view of yourself comes from knowing the truth about who you are. And you'll say, well, that's kind of like God's view. Yes, it is. But I needed 3 points, okay? So give me a break. All right? An accurate view of yourself comes from knowing the truth. Knowing the truth about who you are. The truth was that Jeremiah was only a child in his experience and understanding. That was reality. According to the world standards, he didn't have anything to offer. If it had not been for God putting his words in Jeremiah's mouth, he would have had nothing to say, at least nothing of meaning. And that's of great comfort to me. I can relate. And yet, because God had created him, as he has all of us, for a special purpose, God did not want him to disparage himself. He said, don't say I'm just a child. I've got some great things for you. Don't say you're just a child. And see, there's some good news here and there's some bad news. The bad news is that we're nothing without God. But see, that's really the good news. Because with God, we're something incredibly special. As Jeff affirmed in the children, we're something special. Each and every one of us, there is eternal significance in our lives. And so like Jeremiah, we have this unique mission in life because each of us is unique and is called to mission by God, who created us for a purpose that he equips us to carry out. He doesn't call us out there if we don't have the tools to do it. He said, I'm calling you and I'm equipping you for this mission. I love to read some of the old, especially in the book of Judges. Go back and read Judges. You talk about unlikely heroes. The book of Judges is full of unlikely heroes. Really, the whole Old Testament, and even in the New Testament. It amuses me how God always seems to use the unlikely candidates to do his work. That's a great comfort to me as well. And it should be to you as well. You see, he uses those who are available, not necessarily the most talented. He uses those who are willing to be used. Why is it he doesn't use always the most talented? I think it's perhaps because God wants us to see his hand at work. He wants us to recognize who's really doing this. The truth is that without God, we are nothing, but with him, we are everything he created us to be. Peter in 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. The truth about us is this, according to Romans 8, now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and, get this, co-heirs with Christ. Can you imagine that? Co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we also may share in his glory. We were made for the glory of God, and that is where our self-esteem should come from. And the third thing I see here is that an accurate view of yourself comes from an humble view of who you are. An humble view. Throughout his life, Jeremiah, go back and read this book, people. Go back and read what this guy went through. He didn't have any problem maintaining a sense of humility, let's just put it that way. But he had one to begin with. He had an humble spirit. And so it was not difficult to stay humble. He did not see God's calling on his life as something for which he should feel superior. That just wasn't in the cards. Jesus himself. Jesus did not exalt himself. And if anyone ever had a right to, it was Jesus. But he didn't. The Bible says in Philippians 2, 5 through 7, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Self-esteem comes from servanthood. Self-esteem comes from humility, not pride. For God has said in Isaiah 66, this is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. So here's the deal. We are actually seeking not self-esteem, but God's esteem. Think about that. It kind of takes the pressure off, doesn't it? You know, like those American divers, we can say our identity is in Christ. It's not in our good looks or our IQ or our sports prowess or anything else. Our identity is in Christ. How much better to say with Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's by the grace of God that I am what I am. And as we grow in God, we turn our focus away from ourselves and point it more on God. As we grow in God, we affirm in other people, their gifts, their calling. We encourage them. It's not a competition. We're all in the kingdom together. We're journeying together on slightly different paths. Slightly different plans. Slightly different callings. And if God has given you something that you can do, do it with all of your might. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. It's Colossians 3, 23 and 24. So we are to be full of confidence because God has made us and has called us to serve Him. There is no one else like you in the world. God has seen to that. In like fashion, He has uniquely gifted you for His call upon your life. Embrace that calling. Forge ahead with a dynamic God's esteem as expressed in you. I read a story this week that I'd read before and I had to go back and find it, but it's a story that Paul Harvey has said in a slightly different form. There are several different forms of this out there, so whether it's urban legend or really true, I am not sure, but there's a lot of accounts of it. And the story goes back to tell about an American tourist who was in Paris, and while he was shopping there, he picked up this necklace, an amber necklace that was in a trinket shop, paid about $5 American for it. When he arrived back in New York, he went through customs. He had to pay this pretty healthy duty on this little cheap piece of jewelry, and he couldn't figure it out, so he took it to a jeweler when he got back to New York City, and the jeweler said, you know, I'll give you $25,000 for that necklace. And the guy's like, wait a minute, whoa, time out. And he thought about it for a minute and said, I paid a pretty stout price in duty. Now he wants to give me $25,000. So he said, no. He took the necklace back and he took it to a friend of his who had it appraised at this astronomical value. And when he asked the appraiser, what's the deal with this? I paid $5 for this amber necklace in Paris at a trinket shop. And the guy says, you never have looked at it closely, have you? And he said, well, no. It was pretty. I bought it. He said, take this. And he gave him his little magnifying eyepiece that you've seen jewelers with. And he said, look at it carefully. And when he placed his eye next to the glass and then looked at the necklace, he saw an inscription that read, from Napoleon Bonaparte to Josephine. Yeah, I never find that stuff at yard sales. I hear stories, but I never find that stuff. You see, it was the name on the necklace that gave it extraordinary value. Inscribed on your life is the name of your creator and your owner. He has made you with His own hands, and He has written His name across your heart and your life. Your value is found in that inscription. You belong to Him. He wants to use your life. No one can take your place in His heart, and no one can take your place in this world. Embrace it. Go with God's confidence and peace. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank You. Thank You that from the beginning of time, You saw us for who we could be, who You created us to be, who You would create us to be. Father, thank You that truly You have created us for a purpose that You have set into motion, a calling that You've placed on our life. Father, allow us, help us, to be available, to be obedient, to be receptive, to be responsive to Your call. Father, even in these moments, help us to set everything else aside, which we know really doesn't matter. Help us to set all of that aside and focus on who You are and who You've created us to be. And we pray that that would continue to grow in our lives as we go from this place and interact with people. Help us to love You and love people and fulfill Your calling upon our life. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you do not know Christ, that is the first step. I'll be here in just a moment as we sing. I'll be glad to talk with you about how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it all begins from there. If you are here and you are a believer, while we're singing, just offer to God your availability. Submit your will to His and see the difference that it makes in your life this week. If you're here and you'd like to be a part of this congregation, there are many ways we receive members. I'd be glad to talk with you about that as well. But whatever your decision, I invite you to be serious with God. Respond to His Spirit as we stand and sing together. Let me ask you to be seated for just a moment. Crystal wants to speak to us for just a moment.
I just didn't want to break the flow of worship earlier when I was up here, but I just want to tell you that the decision that I've made to accept the call as senior pastor at Westside Baptist Church, not far down on Peacehaven. I'm just not saying that where I'm so they'll come, but you know what I'm saying. We're just not far, so we'll be brothers and sisters in Christ in ministry. And I'm looking forward to partnering together in ministry with you. Thank you, Raymond, so much. And we'll be showing up for special things occasionally. Ken and I did not arrive at this decision lightly. Believe me, he can tell you. I mean, I have journaled, I've read the Bible, I've prayed. The people who were at Caswell with me were such a blessing. But anyway, it has not been a light decision, but I know that I'm supposed to do this. And I just want to encourage you to listen to God's call. No matter what age you are, listen and be willing to ask for clarity and courage. Clarity and courage. And you will know what to do if you ask for clarity and courage. So thank you for loving us and letting us be us. Thank you for letting us laugh and smile and all the hugs. Thank you so much for preparing me, literally preparing us for this next phase of ministry. I love each one of you, and Ken does too. So thank you a lot.
We recognize that some of you may not be able to come by this afternoon. And if that's the case, Ken and Krista are going to be here following the benediction and the response. And you'll give you an opportunity to come by and speak to her before you go today. We would love for you to, if you can, to come back this afternoon from 2 to 4, but certainly want to give you an opportunity if you're not able to do so. Would you stand with me for the benediction, please? Gracious Father, thank you for the chance to be your children, to be co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the privilege of worshiping you today. We pray for that privilege and that glorious experience every day of our lives, in personal as well as corporate worship. And as we go from this place, Father, we pray that your will would become so clear, that your plan for our life, your calling upon our life, would be a source of joy and strength. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.